I want to let you in on one of the seminary's dirty little secrets. We get accused of a lot of things around here, falsely accused a lot of times. But this one, I'm afraid, is true. You see, many of us spend an awful lot of our time inadequate and overwhelmed. I wish I could say that was something that only the seminary faces. I'm afraid it's generalized to the leadership of our church in general. Division presidents, pastors, elders. And it certainly applies to students and faculty here at the seminary. You see, we are called to do more than we can do. Herein lies a problem. We are called to be more than we can be. We are called to do more than we can do. And as we approach it, we often approach it inadequate and overwhelmed. Now, I did not say we approached it incompetent. We have good training here. We have good education here. We teach the skills necessary for ministry, for leadership, for preaching, for biblical exegesis, for theology. We do not approach it incompetent, just inadequate, and oftentimes overwhelmed. What's the difference? What is this? Well, we're overwhelmed, first of all, because just of the volume of what is expected of us. Work, family, school, church, children's school, paying bills, particularly facing it all this time of year when oftentimes people are getting sick. Psalm 17, 1-3, as read this morning, describes David as he faced external enemies. People who were out to get him, circumstances that were against him. Now, sometimes we may feel we don't have enemies per se, not personal enemies, but we all have enemies in general. These very lists that I just had, work, family, school, church, these things are our friends. But they can become enemies when we are feeling inadequate and overwhelmed. By the way, it is true that we do have enemies. Very personal enemies. Paul describes them in Ephesians 6:12. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of this world. We have enemies. Psalm 17, 1-3 describes how David faces his enemies. And in a nutshell, he faced his enemies by clinging to God and asking God to vindicate him. Now, there's a second list that David gives. This one is found in Psalm 51, verses 1-3. Somehow the reading this morning got to Isaiah 42, which is also a very good text, but not the one that I intended, because here in this list, in Psalm 51, 1-3, we have another list of David's enemies. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. internal enemies. Those things that we battle inside. David had them. Paul had them. You've got them. I've got them. So we've got the problem. We have external enemies, our very busyness, our very expectations of all we are to accomplish. We have our internal enemies. We sometimes have faced our problems with guilt on our hearts. We have sometimes faced our problems knowing full well that we caused part of those problems by our own choices, by our own actions. Our families. It's one of the things that we're overwhelmed with. How do we balance time with the family when we're so busy doing everything with school and assignments and books to read, papers to write, etc.? And sometimes our relationship with our families has more challenges because of our own failures in that very relationship. And so we compound it. School. We've got the papers to write, the classes to teach, the classes to take, the assignments to turn in, the books to read, etc., etc. And sometimes we have made choices that make it even worse by procrastinating or deciding that just one more time we can do this before we start that. Or I can spend extra time on this assignment because it's more important than that assignment. And we make choices and we end up with consequences. With church. We do not want to ignore church during our education, so we get involved in local churches. This is a very good thing. But sometimes we get the feeling a little bit like, I've got what the church needs, therefore I will definitely make myself available, and we overcommit to church. And then when the Sabbath rolls around, instead of getting the rest we need, well, it's our hardest day of work sometimes. Paying bills. We all have to do it. It's a frustration. And it's even worse sometimes because sometimes of our choices, we have caused extra bills. Sometimes we know that we need to live on a stringent budget because borrowing money in order to live day to day while you're a student is a dangerous proposition. So we know we should live on a shoestring, but sometimes we don't, and we face the consequences. By the way, that doesn't change when you become a faculty. It's not as if your tuition is paying us so much money that we don't have to worry about bills. Just a little insight into the other side there. And as faculty, we sometimes make choices which put ourselves in a financial bind. You see, sometimes our worst enemy is us in all of these areas in life. And nowhere is this more clear than in the area of sin. Because I'll be honest with you, other people's sins don't tend to bother me like my own do. I sometimes find it very easy to forgive other people of their sins, for their sins, their shortcomings. But sometimes I look when I've hurt somebody, when I've been selfish, and I say, why did I do that? And yet we are called to do more than we can do. We are called to be more than we can be. We are called to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ on this planet. If that is true of all God's people, it's even more true of God's leaders. And if it's true of God's leaders, it's even more true of the leaders of leaders. And God has called us to be His ambassadors, and Paul said, we are His ambassadors. And Paul said not only that, he said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Paul stood up and said, I'm doing it, you can do it too. And sometimes I feel very inadequate when I compare myself with Jesus Christ or with Paul. And this causes me to feel overwhelmed. But are we not called to be His ambassadors? Have we not been given the provisions to do it? Have we not been given the whole armor of God? Ephesians 6:13, put on the whole armor of God, and the list follows. Everything that is there as tools that we've been given in order to live a victorious, successful life representing God. And then we, like Paul, could say, imitate me while I imitate Christ. But I say, please don't imitate me when I'm not imitating Christ. You know, every time we have a temptation, according to 1 Corinthians 10:13, we are given a way of escape. Every time, not two-thirds of the time, not half the time, not 99% of the time. Every temptation that comes to you is common to humankind. Every temptation. You are never singled out and given a temptation that is different than everyone else's. Now, it may be different in specifics, but never different in type. Never different in kind. And every time, you are given a way of escape. Every time I have given a way of escape. But every now and then, I find myself in temptation, not looking for the escape. There are moments when I'm looking at the temptation, not at the escape. God has given me a way of escape, and I'm saying, I don't want the escape. In those moments, in those times, at that moment, I know I'm inadequate. And I can very easily become totally and completely overwhelmed. You see, God takes our side against our enemies as David points out in Psalm 17, 1-3, God takes our side and vindicates us against our enemies, our external enemies. But God also takes our side against our internal enemies. Now, this comes out a little funny sounding. If I put that in direct English, it says something like this. God takes my side even against myself. God takes my side even against myself. There are times when it looks to me as if God is fighting me, or punishing me, or pushing me down, or taking choices away from me. But the perspective needs to shift. This is the time when God is taking my side against myself. You see, I'm inadequate. And I fail. And I wish I could stand up here like Paul and say, in everything that I do, imitate me as I imitate Christ. But instead I stand up here and say, when I'm imitating Christ, imitate me. And when I am working against myself, please pray for me. But God takes my side even against myself, and provides forgiveness. You see, God said, my little children, this is John, of course, my namesake, John chapter 2, verse 1, but they come to me as the voice of God, my little children, I write these things to you so that you may not sin. That's an important message that we sometimes downplay and skip trying to get to the second part. But let's stop there for a minute. We are called to be ambassadors of God. We are called to put on the whole armor of God. We are called to live lives of holiness. We are called to fight against flesh and blood. We are called to be victorious against sin. We are called to act in righteousness. And the second part, very important, but don't get there too fast. My little children, I write this to you so that you may not sin. But if you do, we have an advocate. If you do sin, if you do look for the temptation and not the way out, if you do fall, we have an advocate. Now, this is not to say it's okay, it doesn't matter if you sin. Nowhere do I read it doesn't matter if you sin. I do not find that in Scripture. What I do find in Scripture is that if you sin and if you confess your sin, He is faithful and just and will forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You see, here we come to a piece that is very important to me in my understanding of my inadequacy, in my overwhelmed state. I need to know that I'm not depending on me to get me out of this. I'm depending on God, and God provides what I need. He provides vindication against my outside enemies. He provides forgiveness and righteousness and cleansing against my internal enemies. God gives us what we need so that we do not have to continue overwhelmed. Ellen White says we are given the privilege of prayer. In the privilege of prayer, we receive a piece of God's armor. In prayer, we have a tool of communication with the command center of heaven. Now, that's the awesome way of saying it. In prayer, we have a direct line from our heart to the heart of our best friend. That's the close way of saying it. And both are true at the same time. Great is our God. We sang it this morning. How great is our God? Our God is so great, He created everything. Our God is so great, He controls all that is. There is nothing that is not under the control of our God. And this very God loves you. Our great God loves you. This is why He is providing forgiveness when you sin, when I sin. Are you overwhelmed? Are you called to do more than you can do? Be aware that being overwhelmed is not necessarily bad. There's a good side to being overwhelmed. You see, do you feel inadequate sometimes to preach? Here I'm getting up in front of a crowd of preachers. preach. There's two homiletics professors sitting right here in the front. And I'm getting up to preach. I don't preach often enough to stay in practice. I feel very inadequate when I face homiletics professors and say, I'm going to preach. To the point of being overwhelmed. Now, if that overwhelming is a good thing, it causes me to say, Lord, I am inadequate. If anything is going to be said here, I'm going to have to get it from you, and I'm going to have to go dig. I'm going to have to do my own work. I'm going to have to make sure I do the study, spend the time in prayer, allowing God to give me the message, because I know I don't have it. In that case, being overwhelmed is not such a bad thing. Have you ever felt inadequate to pray? A week ago Sunday, we had a meeting downstairs with the division president, Dan Jackson. Faculty there to interact, ask questions, dialogue. Now, I definitely wanted to be there, but it was in an odd time. It was 7 p.m. on a Sunday evening. Now, I'm doing a little work on my home, and I wanted to get some shingles done on a day without rain. And this time of year, if you're doing your roofing, you got to shingle when it's not raining. So Sunday afternoon, I'm trying to get the shingling done on my roof, and I'm seeing 7 o'clock coming closer and closer, and I'm seeing the last of the shingles coming closer and closer, and I'm racing to get all the shingles done and still make it to that meeting. And so I get done with the shingles at 6:55. So I showed up at the meeting looking fairly professional from here up. As long as you don't look at my hair too close. But from here down, I look like I've been shingling. So I sit in the back row, and I'm very comfortable back there because my shingling clothing is tucked underneath the table, and my professional clothing is sticking above the table. And as long as I have an eye contact so that people aren't noticing my hair too much, maybe I'm going to get by looking professional during a meeting such as this. And I've almost made it. We're down to the very end of the meeting, and Dean 410 says, before you go, Pastor Jackson, we want to pray for you. So we're all going to come down front, and we're going to put our hands on you and pray for you, and I'm going to ask John Reeve to lead the prayer. Inadequate? My very clothing was inadequate. So I've got a choice to make. I can be all embarrassed and go down there and know that I'm inadequate and blow it. That is very much in the realms of possibility. Or I can say, when I'm overwhelmed, I can trust in you. And I can go down there with confidence and put my hands on our leader and pray that our God will protect him, guide him, show him love, and forget the fact that I'm inadequate. You see, when we're overwhelmed, it's not always such a bad thing. If our being overwhelmed causes us to not depend upon ourselves, but to turn to our God in humility and say, Lord, the task that I am given is greater than my abilities to do it. And the sooner we get there, the better off it'll be. And it's not as if you get there once and you're done, by the way. You need to get there in every circumstance, every day. We are inadequate. To represent God, we are inadequate. And in and of ourselves, I guarantee you, if you're honest, you're overwhelmed. But praise God. Praise God. You are not called and abandoned. You are not called and left to your own devices. We are called, and then Jesus tells us in Matthew 28:19, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. We're given the armor of God, not because we were warriors. We're given the army of God, the armor of God, because we need defense. Why do we pray at the beginning of class? Why do we pray? In the Adventist church, we make it a practice to pray at the beginning of every meeting. Church meeting, leadership meetings, conference meetings, general conference meetings. We pray to the beginning of this meeting. Why do we pray if it's not in recognition that we are inadequate and overwhelmed? That's why I pray at the beginning of class. I don't walk in there knowing that since I am competent, I have the education, I've done the background study, I have the information, I know what I'm talking about. That's not why I pray. I pray because I know I am inadequate. I am on my own, overwhelmed. If I get up to teach you and I simply give you knowledge, I have not done what I've been called to do. I need to give you knowledge. Yes, that's part of the competencies we're talking about. That's the competence of teaching. That's the competence of education. But that's not all we're about here. We're about preparing people to be God's ambassadors. Let's pray. Our loving God, thank you that you give us your forgiveness. Thank you that you provide us with what we need to live a holy life. Thank you that you give us what we need to face all our external enemies. And most of all, I thank you that you give us what we need to face our internal enemies. Thank you for taking my side against me. Be with us as we leave to walk these halls in our inadequacy, in our overwhelmed state. And help us to recognize what a blessing overwhelming is. In Jesus' name. Amen.